With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good afternoon. This is Joe Hoff. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting your friends, family, and acquaintances, even those that you walk by on the street, to come to the Joe Hoff Show and listen in on the truth that we convey here daily at tntradio.live, weekdays, I should say. So, and actually during the weekend as well, although the Joe Hoff Show is not here on the weekend, we're Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for listening in, and glad you're here. Lots going on. We've got a great show again today. We've got a good friend, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, joining us with an incredible story, which will be a nice segue into one of our special guests coming in next week, and I'll share that later. And then after the first segment, we've got President Trump's head of communications, Liz Harrington, joining us. Good friend and a beautiful woman and an incredible hero working for the United States of America, President Trump, and really for all of us. And she's just, I just feel like President Trump and America is blessed to have her. And so got a great show set up ahead, and appreciate you listening in. A lot to talk about. A lot going on in the news. So the big news last night, I guess, was the U.S. House passed this massive spending bill, and they touted it as, oh, we've saved $2 trillion. Well, it's all bogus. It's just these guys, just they're just so dishonest. I think it just takes dishonesty to be a politician sometimes. It's like, no, they're spending money like crazy. Our U.S. budget now is up to $6 trillion. I was on OAN last night with Dan Ball, and he invited me on to talk about this. And the thing that really grabs me is it's very similar to what Obama did. Obama took over in 2009. The U.S. economy was a mess, and they took advantage of it in a big way, and they passed this stimulus bill. This is after Obama said, we're not going to pass any bills without people reading them first. We're going to make them available for 2 weeks before we pass them. And all this BS it turned into, because the first bill, month or less into his presidency, they passed this $1 trillion bill. They didn't allow the Republicans in. They had Nancy Pelosi in the House. Obama swept the House, the Senate, and he won the presidency. In the Senate, they stole the seat in Alaska so that they could get a supermajority, 60 votes in the Senate, which they needed to pass through some of this, especially Obamacare. So just corrupt as can be. They've been corrupt for a very long time. I mean, the Democrats is the party that ran off and started the Confederacy because they wanted to keep their slaves. Don't ever forget that. And so anyways, Obama comes in, and they add this $1 trillion spending bill, a stimulus. We still don't know all that was in it. $1 trillion is so much money. I got to tell you, I've audited $1 billion. A trillion's 1,000 billion. Who even knows where that type of money is and where it's going? And $4 trillion. So that's what happened. The U.S. budget was $3 trillion. It increased to $4 trillion. With that stimulus bill. And then what happened is every year after that, they kept that as the budget, $4 trillion moving forward. And Obama blew away the U.S. budget, the U.S. debt, the U.S. deficit. It was just horrible. And so we had a $5 trillion deficit when Obama came in, and people were rightly concerned about that. By the time he left, he doubled that. It was up to at least $10 trillion, and maybe it was ten. It was like $8 or $9 trillion, and it was $20 trillion when he left, because Trump then stepped in, and then the big concern was this debt, and then Trump had the clowns in the House under Paul Ryan, and they pushed through more spending. They didn't have any desire to do anything that was going to help Trump. And despite that, President Trump, his first year in office, decreased the debt to GDP ratio because he increased the GDP so much. And that's exactly how to, in one way to do it, to keep levels reasonable. Now they're just blowing it out of the water. And so what happened with COVID is they raised the budget to like $6 trillion, and now they're just going to keep it at $6 trillion. This is the Obama way, the Biden way. And when you got a bunch of, you know, clowns and never Trumpers in the House on the Republican side, it's, yeah, you know, it's easy to do. So that's where we're at. And that was the big news last night. They passed this bill. 70 some Republicans voted against it, and a similar amount of Democrats. There's some Democrats who were upset about probably not spending more on whatever. So anyways, it passed, and now it's going to go to the Senate, and they'll pass it. It'll go to Biden. Massive spending for the U.S. The debt is going to be massive. Peter Navarro, Professor Peter Navarro, who worked for Trump, a top economist, says, well, this is going to just cause stagflation, meaning inflation is going to be great. And goods will just, you know, they'll just be real costly. And American people are going to try to somehow try to keep up. Our savings, et cetera, are going down just like they have for the last two to almost 3 years under Biden. So just more of the same mess. These people don't care. They don't care about America. They don't care about integrity. They just what a mess. And so that's the big news last night. And sadly, the bill did pass. Some people, Democrat or the Republicans, were touting it as, well, we saved $2 trillion. It's like $2 trillion over 10 years or something silly. It's they always do this. This is how we're going to save $10 trillion in this budget. Of course, it's going to occur in years 8 and 9, which are way down the road. And by then, budgets will be God only knows what. So kind of a disaster for the U.S. We've got to keep praying. The thing that we can do is pray. I was just listening to this event that I went to down at Trump Doral. Listened again to Roger Stone and General Flynn this afternoon. What an honor it was to speak beside them and with them down at Trump Doral. And the message was, we need to pray right now. And that's what we can do. People, everybody's asking what to do. Pray like it depends on God. And we'll soon have actions to take too, because we've got to win this next election. We cannot allow them to steal it again. So anyways, having said that, we've got a topic from our good friend, Mr. Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. He's and this is interesting. This is about some concerns about Elon Musk meeting with China's foreign minister this past week. So I've heard some rumblings about this. I'm anxious to hear more. So, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Not as well as good. Elon Musk, of course.
Financial-wise. Financially.
Yes, of course. I am happy to report, I suppose, if one could say this is happy reporting. But yes, it is news. Good news for Elon Musk. He's reclaimed his position as the world's wealthiest person, because we don't say he's the world's wealthiest man. That would be horrible to say that. But of course, Bloomberg Billionaires Index is the one who says this. According to their ranking, the Tesla, SpaceX, and Twitter owner, and Neuralink owner, I might add, his wealth has jumped to $192 billion. Wowza. That's just, what is that, $5 billion more than the number two guy, who is at $187 billion. That would be French luxury goods magnate Bernard Arnault. The two businessmen have been neck and neck at the top spot for months now, but no longer. Musk has been declared the clear winner. He has seen his wealth jump by $55.3 billion this year, largely due to the Tesla share price, which surged about 24% in May alone and 65.6% in the past 12 months. And hey, speaking of Tesla, you're familiar with Republican presidential candidate, very interesting guy, Vivek Ramaswamy. He came forward and he's saying some of the quiet things out loud. He says actually that he's deeply concerned that Tesla's CEO, Senor Musk, met with China's foreign minister this week. But while Elon Musk was there, he reportedly revealed his feelings about something. Apparently, he's opposed to economic decoupling between the United States and China. That's raising some concerns among a few people, actually. I might be able to get to a second one here in a second, who I saw speaking on the television a if you can believe it or not. So Ramaswamy took to Twitter on the 31st. That would be yesterday, I believe. And he said that he was breaking a quote-unquote unspoken rule in the GOP by sharing his concerns about the billionaires meeting with China's foreign minister. Musk, who arrived in Beijing on Tuesday for his first trip to China in more than 3 years. So, yeah, kind of weird. He just up and quietly went there. He didn't really talk about it much. Musk first met with Foreign Minister Qin Gang, where, according to a statement from the Chinese Foreign Ministry, Musk reportedly shared his thoughts on American and Chinese economic interests while also praising China's quote-unquote vitality and promise. Musk later allegedly announced that he will expand his business in China. So Ramaswamy says on Twitter, quote, "It's deeply concerning that Elon Musk met with China's foreign minister yesterday to oppose decoupling and referred to the U.S. and communist China as conjoined twins. Tesla's VP in China reposted that statement on Weibo in China, but curiously, not here in the U.S., end quote. Ramaswamy said that he has been, quote, one of the most vocal supporters, end quote, of Musk's effort to transform Twitter, but that it is a, quote, real risk to the United States when the CCP churns our most prominent business leaders and celebrities, Tim Cook, Larry Fink, LeBron James, Elon Musk, into puppets to advance their agenda. He goes on to say that tilts the global scales of perception in China's favor, and sadly, it's working. The U.S. needs leaders who aren't in China's pocket, yet Biden is just another embodiment of that same problem, end quote. And here's the issue. He was also pointing out that Musk did not publicly comment at all on his trip to China when asked by reporters while leaving a hotel in Beijing on Wednesday, according to the BBC. Even though he owns Twitter, spent $44 billion to do so, he's been unusually quiet on Twitter during his entire visit to China. So I don't know. Does he have something to hide? What's going on? What do you think?
Well, really interesting. And this is what I mentioned earlier in the show, just kind of a segue to next week. We've got Dr. Shiva joining us. And Dr. Shiva is the individual who created the email at a young age. And he's graduated from MIT. I think he's received two different doctorates from there. Smart guy. He was involved early on in the election. That's how I was introduced to him. After the 2020 election, he showed some patterns in the data that didn't make sense. He said something's going on here, and since then I've talked to him a number of times, interviewed him, and we're going to interview him again next week. But he came out some time ago to say, I'm not so sure if Elon Musk is the savior that we're trying to that he's put himself into this narrative, you know, taking back Twitter and going to save free speech and. And that he's been more very critical of Musk, saying is looking long term. And I don't know. We will see what he has to say next week. But I've liked certainly some things that Musk has done. He's done a masterful job. I think Tesla is a great vehicle, and you know, he's made a lot of money off that. He's got SpaceX. There's a big. Big rocket that's taken off this weekend around noon Eastern time out of Cape Canaveral, one of his rockets. So he's got this goal to fly to Mars. And so I don't know. It'll be fun to listen to what Dr. Shiva says. But it is kind of, I don't believe the U.S. is absolutely connected to China. I think that's dangerous to think that way. Because they don't play by the same rules that we play by, and going over there and saying that is probably not in the U.S.'s best interest, is what I think.
Yeah, that's what this one guy was saying. John Pelson. He wrote a book which is cool. I forgot the full name. Something about China's dangerous domination of 5G. But he used to work for British Telecom, and he was on the Epoch Times, who I like to read a lot. They have a sister media outlet. They do video. It's called NTD, but they have a show called China in Focus. And Pelson was on there. He had some interesting things to say. kind of along the lines of what you're saying, is like the problem is that basically like Musk is not, he's not skilled in this kind of thing. And he's just over there running around like a bull in the China shop, excuse the expression there. But he said that, quote, the problem is Musk thinks of everything in terms of innovation and business, and he's good at both. And he thinks, you're not going to be able to beat me at this. And then he says, China is not playing that game. This is a game of hegemony, world influence, and domination, and less can win his innovation game against China. He said, according to this expert, that the communist regime's end goals are, quote, reliance, dependency on China, and influence on American companies of great importance. So I just, you know, I hope Musk is careful out there, and that he, I don't know, maybe he should strengthen America's economy rather than China's. Maybe that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. He's making a lot of money over there.
Yeah, and my trust factor,
Tesla was the,
he's a billionaire, go ahead. You know?
Well, yeah. Oh,
he's the world's richest person, so I can't trust
him. Well, Tesla was the number one car in Hong Kong. I go over to Hong Kong. And the cars there, you're seeing these super expensive cars all over the place. It was like Mercedes was like what you'd see a Toyota in the Midwest. They were just everywhere. And all these nice cars. But Tesla was the top one for a while. And maybe still is. And it's, and now he's selling it in China. He's making a killing on these things. So probably doesn't want to lose that market, you know, selfishly. So. Anyways, it'll be fun to talk about with Dr. Shiva next week as well. Hey, thanks so much, Adam, and have a great evening. We'll catch up tomorrow.
All right. Thanks. You too, Joe.
Thank you. Okay. We'll be right back with Liz Harrington from President Trump's team right after this.
TNT Radio's Bruce DeTorres.
You talk about America 1.0 versus America 2.0. So I thought I would ask you, what was America 1.0? What was it like compared to today?
Well, I think America 2.0, the main distinguishing feature of it is that a third ingredient has been added, and it's the worst ingredient of all, and that is absolute lunacy, sanity. So now you have corruption and incompetence that was always there in America 1.0, although the corruption wasn't quite as bad, and the incompetence definitely wasn't as bad. Even, you know, I wrote about you know, the crimes before the JFK assassination and crimes and cover-ups in American politics, 1776, 1963. There was a lot of corruption, but there wasn't a whole lot of incompetence. Back in those days, you wouldn't have seen a Lori Lightfoot or Gavin Newsom or people that were just obviously mind-bogglingly incompetent. Those kind of people really didn't exist, or if they did, they hit them really well. Now you see them out in the forefront, and you can even go, even look beyond the corruption that we see. Hey, look at who in the Biden administration is competent.
World Stage and Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on TNT Radio.
Hey, welcome back. This is Joe Hoff Show. And as I shared before the break, we have with us the one and only Liz Harrington, President Trump's director or communications director. So welcome, Liz. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Always happy to hear your voice, and we're thrilled to have you on as always. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, always good. Great to be with you.
Well, thanks. So are you in, if it's okay with me asking, are you up in Iowa today? Or are you still down in Florida?
Yeah, no, I'm not in Iowa today, but I wish I was, because he's killing it today. I mean, there's just no comparison, Joe. I mean, when you see him out there interacting with the people, I mean, there's just no comparison. I mean, nobody else is even in the same league. Let alone the same ballpark. And the polling all shows that too. And people just see the realness of President Trump, his love of the people, his love of the country. And he's having a great visit today.
You know, as you were saying that, this thought hit me, maybe from God, you know, sometimes that stuff does happen. It's like, maybe we're blessed that this last election was stolen from him. because we get to enjoy them for another, you know, another 4 years. And
it almost it's over, right? Yeah.
And now we've had them for 4 years. Now we get them for another four. This is great. You know,
maybe it's been a blessing. He had such a good answer about that, because all DeSantis is, well, you need 8 years. You know, I can serve two terms. It's like, well, you can't even win one election. How are you going to win two? but President Trump had the best response to that today. He's like, eight years? We need 6 months. I mean, he already made America great again once. It's very easy to do, to unleash the potential of American energy, which he already did, using our leverage as a country. He was talking about how much power we actually have over China, which is incredible, and our corrupt ruling class just squanders it all because they're really working on the same team. And President Trump, yeah, he just explains it so easily. It's not that difficult. We just have very corrupt people running things, very incompetent people too, but it mostly corrupt, and we can fix this and turn it around so fast with common sense. And so that was just a perfect response to that ridiculous notion. It might take some people 8 years. It certainly doesn't take Donald J. Trump.
That's great. That's fantastic. So what's his agenda today? Maybe fill me in on exactly what he's doing today.
Yeah, he's met with great supporters today, did a Q&A with people from the audience, gave short remarks there, what I was just referencing. He had some great questions from the audience. He did local radio last night in studio, and he's doing the Hannity Town Hall in person. Oh, that's right. That will air tonight at 9 p.m. So it's going to be, it's a jam-packed day. He stopped by some local venues there. Great reception, just, you know, signing hats and just talking with everybody. And yeah, it's just, it's so great to have him out in these states. The people love him. They really do. And the feeling is mutual. He loves this country. He loves the people. And it really comes across.
That's really cool. So Jim and I, you know, grew up in Iowa. So that's our hometown, our home turf. We've got a lot of friends in the Des Moines, the center. It's the big area. So, you know, Urbandale and Ankeny and these cities that surrounding Des Moines, that's the big city. It's a big city for us growing up. And I guess where he's at. So I think he was going to be in Urbandale or Ankeny. I thought I heard something like that, which are right outside Des Moines. So
Right. He's all around that area.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state. It's a neat state, real flat, but beautiful farmland, great history, great people. I think Iowa, the people in Iowa are just so genuine and nice, and yet also it's also real tough. It's real strong. Iowa's known for its wrestling, and you know, we had some, you know, NCAA champions coming out of Iowa, and it's just superstar wrestlers and growing up and then at both universities there. So it's as much as it is just really, really nice, good Christian people. It's also some tough guys too. So it was a unique place to grow up and quite a blessing to grow up there. So I think he's talked about, he gave Dan Gable a big award when he was president. Mm-hmm. And Dan Gable he's the head of wrestling at the University of Iowa. He wrestled at Iowa State growing up and in Iowa, grew up in Iowa, went to Iowa State, went to the Olympics. And I had some buddies that were wrestlers, so they told me about Dan Gable. He goes to the Olympics and he ends up, he won the gold medal. And the Russians actually had him tested. And the Russians had great wrestlers back then. And he didn't have a point scored against him. He was just so focused. He was so intense. And a part of that was because his sister died when he was a kid. And I think part of him felt guilty about it. But he just tore it. He took that out on the wrestling mat. Just was unbelievable. Won three NCAA champs or something like that, and then went on to coach at University of Iowa and then became one of the greatest coaches ever. Iowa won like 9 years in a row, the NCAAs under him. He was just a machine. And so Trump gave him a nice award. I remember what he did, and he had Gable up there in the White House, and he says, "Do you think I could take you?" And Gable goes, "No." and Gable still, you know, Trump loves those wrestlers, man. He loves the tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. He was just at the wrestling tournament I don't know much
about
wrestling, but great. I mean, the crowd went nuts. And then he went to a couple of them. He went to the big UFC thing. And then before that, it must be college or some young guy.
Yeah, it was. It was the NCAA championship.
He shook hands with all the guys, all the champions. Yeah. And that was just great. And it reminds me, he comes out with this great new plan this week of how we're going to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our founding. And it's just, I don't know if you saw the video, but it's going to kick off in Iowa. It's going to be a year-long party. There's going to be, you know, state fair. And a big part of it is going to be competition and sports. And it's such a big part of, you know, the American spirit. We're going to return like common sense to real competition. There's not going to be, you know, any men wrestling against babies, you know?
Right.
It's like nobody else is talking like this. Nobody else, you know, comes up with these ideas that are just fun and great and inspirational. And that's the kind of mindset we need because, everything is just terrible. Our leaps, it's just awful. And we know it doesn't have to be that way. And it's such a disservice to our people because it's not reflective at all of who our people are.
I think that's so brilliant. I'll have to go back and watch it. You've told me some things you got to see this. And I went back and watched, it was the interview between Trump and Bannon last time we talked about it. So I went back and watched that and it was excellent. And, and I'll have to watch this as well. I just jotted a note down, but I mean, this is so in your face to the wokeness and these evil people that are trying to basically change the human race, you know, destroy Christianity. You know what I mean? And they destroy sports and they try to demasculate this country. And they attack like the NFL and get a clown like Kaepernick to kneel during the national anthem, which pushes people away. They attack Bud Light, you know, where people would drink that watching games. And just so much masculinity they attack because that's, you know, America is masculine. You know, the men are good, strong men, like I mentioned earlier about Iowa, good Christian people. But man, you don't want to get in a wrestling match with some of these guys. They'll put you in a pretzel, you know? And, That's America. It's masculine. So that's an incredible idea. So in the face of the wokeness too. And, you know, and we're not going to see, you know, guys jumping into a wrestling match with women. Jim pointed this out to me a few years back in this UFC type of fighting stuff. Early on, they had some of these trans guys were in these matches. They just went in and just beat these women up. It was just gross. It's like, what are people watching here? This is sick. It was really
kind of society, you know, let's get to this point. I mean, come on. It's just, it's insanity. It's total insanity. And you're right. Everything about, you know, the other side, all they do is just tear things down, destroy things. It's all about, it's not about building anything. It's not about creating anything. There's no freedom. It's just everybody has to be, you know, all the same and has to submit to the destruction of the country. That's it. And it's just so anti-American really at its core, why we were founded in the first place and the type of people that just wanted, you know, to live in God's freedom. That's all they wanted. And you're right. I mean, there's something so great about that spirit, and we still are that way, but they're trying to tear it down. They're trying to, you know, make you feel bad about it or this or that. It's like, no, this is the natural order of things. So people just want, you know, to live with common sense and peace and they can't have that. So they, and President Trump, I think that is one of the reasons why they can't stand him the most. He's just, he's so in your face against what they're doing and standing in their way. Like he says all the time, you know, not coming after me, they're coming after you. And it's really, that's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So in their face too, on that kind of stuff, just, you know, and it is the left and they're evil. They're just, it's just really evil. And it is, you see this crazy guy that's tied with Soros or Soros, I guess, and Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. This guy from Israel who's just talking about really destroying the human being and creating something new that these guys think they're God. These guys are sick. They're like, to me, I do believe there's a connection to the former Nazis with these guys at the World Economic Forum. I do. That's just my thought. I'm throwing it on the table because there's this thought that I see that they think they're just so better than. They're just, we are better than even human. We are better than God, is their thinking. And that's, it's really gross. It's really sick. Yeah. And Trump and America is in their face against it. And that's why they want to destroy America so much too. And
right. Yeah. No, it always has been the case. I mean, it's, America is just, it's against this globalist tendency that wants to eliminate all sovereignty. I mean, if you have a strong America, it's just, it's easier for other nations to strive to be that way. And, you know, America just stands in the way every time. And Stephen Miller had a good comment the other day. It's, people really take for granted just how much President Trump bucked that establishment order and bucked the globalist bent of the ruling class. Like, he did it constantly. And it was just, it was very simple. And everyone, and again, why they fear him, why they can't stand him, is because they knew he was serious. I mean, he was going to stand up for America and America's way of life no matter what. And you weren't going to take advantage of us anymore. You weren't going to, those days were over. And they can't have that because there's too much money at stake. There's too much power at stake. And they can't stand that. And so that's why there's been such a coordinated effort that continues to this day, by the way.
Right.
I mean, they cannot let the American people have their way again because they'll choose President Trump without a doubt. They'll do it a third time. And they're petrified of that. That's why it's the same games, the same election interference. They're ratcheting up even more because they're so desperate. They know. I mean, President Trump's numbers, I mean, you always have to remember, I mean, the mainstream press and the mainstream pollsters are not, you know, they're very left wing. Their numbers they're giving President Trump are just astronomical. They're higher than they've ever been. And I think it's because they're actually really even higher. They just can't release the real number.
Right.
But they can't, you know, they can't rig them. So like they can't do that. So it's incredible. So they're terrified. They know the people get it. They know, they see what's going on. And and President Trump's winning.
Yeah, that's so great. He's so lucky to have you, by the way. I'm so, so happy for him and for you and for this country that you there and you mentioned Steve, was it Stephen Miller? Yeah, he's great. And
good guy.
Yeah, we're lucky to have you guys. As you were talking, we talked about the globalists and stuff right before you came on. This individual, Adam Clark, joins us, and he usually talks about a story of the day. And today's story was Elon Musk goes to China, and nobody knew it. And he was real quiet about it, and then he came back and he's saying some things like, well, the U.S. apparently is like really so connected to China, we really can't decouple it. And, you know, my thoughts are, well, you know, that's a real sick mentality. I've dealt with China. I've worked, I've been in and out of China 100 times. I've worked in China I lived in Hong Kong, but I've done some work in China, and they have a different mentality than the U.S. It just is. And you can't go in there as an American company and believe that you're going to get the same type of integrity that you would expect with companies in the U.S. And a lot of American companies don't realize that when they go in there, they think these people think like us, and then they get taken to the bank. And and Chinese, Chinese CCP, they're not going to stand up for an American company in a lawsuit in China. You just better admit you've lost your money, and you got just outsmarted. And that's the thing about China. It's a different mentality. And so here's Musk saying that. I'm like, I don't agree with that. And ironically, here's Musk, who was helping DeSantis, as you know, come out with this this coming out party. And it was a total disaster. So what did you think when you saw that thing, basically fall apart?
I mean, Joe, when I saw that this is how they're rolling out, I was like, well, that's kind of a, bold move, right? That's kind of like an odd choice, especially given the fact that I honestly kind of thought it was perfect, because Twitter is not real life. And the only person who's ever actually used Twitter effectively is President Trump, because he didn't use it. It was a one-way street with President Trump. He blasted out his message and then put the phone down and went about his day, and everyone went crazy and had to follow it. These people... Yeah. Live online. It's all they do. And they think it's like the real world. And it's like this weird, the whole thing is crazy. And so, and they get sucked in and they think that this is like how the rest of the world thinks. And it's like, no, actually, it's what people on Twitter think. And they're the worst types of people. They're like political don't have real jobs. So that I was thinking, this is crazy, kind of odd that you would do this, but I had no idea it would be this disastrous. I mean, that was just a joke. I'm sorry. Like, they were trying to spin it. They broke the internet. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
Give me a break. They've had like 3 million people on at one time in one of these things. And look, if you're going to do an audio only, well, first of all, why don't you just use radio? Because it's been around for a while. It's not going to glitch out. it's like the guy does not have a great voice for radio. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. it's like the guy does not have a great voice for radio, okay? Like, I'm sorry. It's very grating. And I just couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe that they didn't test it or didn't, look. And that's fine, right? Okay. There were a lot of glitches. It didn't get off the ground. But honestly, it was worse when it got going. It was worse. Who wants to sit through and listen to this? It was the most boring thing. It had no connection to any audience whatsoever. I mean, anybody that suffered through the glitches that made it through the main event, how are you stay for it? He's talking in these acronyms, ESG and woke this, and woke that, and CRT. And it's like, nobody knows what you're talking about. I just honestly, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. I was astounded. And I saw.
Was your jaw hitting the floor, or were you just laughing?
Honestly, my jaw wasn't hitting the floor, but I was also laughing because these people are very arrogant. I'm sorry. They really, we're just talking about it. We take, President Trump for granted. People take for granted what running for president really means, and that it's not easy. And these people get so arrogant, and they think that because, you got a bunch of people in your ear, you've got these donors telling you this and that, that they can just go and do something. No, it's President Trump is so special. Like, he is so special, and we're so blessed to have him. number one, that he's, because he's so normal that no normal person runs for president, you know? He's such a normal guy, but he's also just the experiences he's had, just he's so well equipped to be such a great leader, and he has been such a great leader, and he will continue to be. And it's, again, it's not an easy thing. And these people get like so, you know, full of themselves or something and think it's all about them. And it's like, no, man, and you don't really got it. Sorry.
That's great. Yeah, that's so perfect, though, what you said. He's such a normal guy. And now I don't look at him that way. I just think, wow, what an incredible blessing. I know what you mean.
Way,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know it.
It's like, obviously.
Absolutely.
Because he's this successful billionaire and all that stuff. But when you get down
great
to it.
Great sense of humor. Yeah, just
he's the best.
Fantastic.
He's brilliant.
But you said about his tweets. Remember when he dropped the bomb about Rocket Man or said, my bombs are bigger than yours? The whole world freaked. They just freaked. And like you said, he just got up and went and had a cup of coffee, you know, nothing, didn't think anything of it. The whole world's freaking out. And he was right. He put Rocket Man in his place. It was like this guy next to Trump was a lost child, you know, and Trump
just
treated
incredible.
Him with respect. And treated him with dignity when they met, and it was a historic thing. Yeah, so
he knows exactly how to deal with people. He knows exactly how to do it, and it's brilliant. And it's always the key thing is his heart. His heart for what's he going after, right? It's not about him. It's about the country. It's about, you know, doing a good job. And getting something for us, getting something for America. And I mean, the way to watch him do that, things like that and come up with these things, it's like nobody thinks that way. I mean, that's why it's just incredible to see it in action. And I mean, there's just no comparison. I mean, who can do something like that and then get and then willing to walk away. I mean, he had a lot on the line there, right? He went to North Korea. He did all this stuff. And then when it wasn't going to be a good deal, sorry, we're not going to do a deal. But we still got a lot out of it, you know? And it's just incredible.
Long term, we don't even know. I mean, that when Trump starts saying, hey, you got some great, you know, oceanfront property there, we could make this into a great place. I'm sure that just hit this, you know, kid, I'll say, and like, wow, he's got a point there. They could make a ton of money on if they built some nice places there. You know, it got him thinking of different things. It was amazing stuff. It was great. I just think, you know what I think about DeSantis? I think he did it this way because I heard they were saying, well, he was thinking about doing it on his baseball field where he grew up and out in Tampa area or something. And he bragged about being on Yale's baseball team. And actually, I heard something that he was his favorite politician was George the first Bush, Herbert Bush, because they were both captains of the Yale baseball team. And I'm like, huh, well, there you go. But the thing is, it's like, I think it's because they were scared. They were scared. We can't do anything and advertise it because we're going to get a ton of Trump people at that event. That's why Biden couldn't do it. Biden's rallies were just absolutely, they were circles on the floor, you know, craziest thing you ever seen.
And empty,
talk about
at the like used head. Car lot, remember the Jeeps?
all the same Jeep.
Crazy. Gosh, it was so pathetic.
Crazy.
But I think you're right. I think they probably were scared that they were scared about a lack of crowd if he went to his hometown or.
He'll never have the crowd Trump's in.
I mean, you got to have confidence if you're like you got to go for it. And it's like the other thing I thought after, you know, listening to all this, I'm like, okay, it's so clear. This guy's the candidate of the controlled opposition. I mean, like all the people buying Elon Musk's snake oil. I mean, give me a break. Like what fundamentally has changed at Twitter? Nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if
I still don't. I
still not on
no, I don't, no, they won't let me back on. I've asked them about 7-8 times. The last two responses, yeah, they say, well, no, we're not letting you back on. It's like, and, no, and, they're more direct now, you know.
And they just get all these people to buy into it. And it's like, this isn't free speech. They're not free speech absolutism. No, they're not letting on, you know, the most fringe, if you will, voices, which is actually what the First Amendment is supposed to be about, right? Like, you're supposed to be have everybody, whether you agree with them or not. And not that you are the most fringe.
Thanks. Thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate that.
But I mean, and if anyone looks at their mentions, there's so many bots. I guarantee you it's still controlled by the intel agencies. I mean, they throw you a bone with the Twitter files, which is just like the Durham report, which is basically stuff that we already know. Yeah, it's bad, but they're not giving you the full story, which we know is even worse.
Yeah.
So it's the same type of thing. His connections to China and everything else, it's like, it kind of makes sense. It's like, okay, DeSantis and Elon controlled opposition. Okay, got it. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah. And I heard DeSantis passed a bill or signed a bill that would hide all his travel records over the past while he's been governor or something. So it's like, what's that about? I mean, who does this? People, you know, it's like, okay, here we are again. I mean, how many times American people, fortunately, we got some places where we can go to get some information, but how many times, if you're hiding it, then there must be something wrong. I mean, we learned this in like fifth grade, right? For sure. Probably knew it in second, you know, maybe kindergarten. But if somebody's hiding something, there's something wrong. So, okay, what's back there? And, same with, like you said, Durham. There's so much he didn't talk about.
He didn't subpoena people. I mean, he didn't even interview the major players. It's like, this is a joke.
Right.
It's so bad, I mean, in and of itself. But, I mean, nothing is going to change unless you really get to the heart of the matter and you start holding people accountable.
Right.
And it's the only way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he didn't touch who actually, who actually gave the DNC files to WikiLeaks. Roger Stone's life was flipped upside down because they accused him of being involved in that. Sick. The whole thing was a lie. And they didn't talk about it.
Not to mention the entire Mueller report. If the Durham report is true, why do we have Mueller? I mean, it's just absurd. We know exactly why we had Mueller, which was a cover-up operation and an entrapment operation that didn't work. But it's the same tactics they're using now, you know, obstruction over a non-crime. Yeah. Give me a break. There's no obstruction. There's nothing. It's just election interference is what it is.
Yeah, you're talking about the event at Mar-a-Lago, right? Yeah. The raid on Mar-a-Lago.
Just everything. Yeah. It's the same tactics and with Mueller too. I mean, there should be some accountability. Why did they spend 2 years in quote unquote investigating something they knew was fake? I mean, it was a frame-up operation. So it's like so much worse than even what Durham like lets you, you know, see. It's so much worse. It was a frame-up. Yeah. So corrupt, and they're doing the same thing now. They won't stop because they're desperate. No. Like I said, desperate. They know they have no choice because President Trump, when he gets in there, is actually going to clean house. He knows everything now. He knows how the system works, and they're not going to get away with this anymore.
Nope. And I think this time he knows and he's got the American people absolutely behind him. And maybe that's another blessing of all this is that if they start another freaking investigation into Trump, he will shut it down. He will have the people arrested thrown in jail at enough of these games, you know, because that's what I think anyways. People like Weissman and Mueller and that whole gang, when you go back and you look at all the things these people did to innocent people and good people, great people like General Flynn, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, these guys' lives were flipped upside down and they did nothing wrong. They came back with these crimes against Manafort and General Flynn. That is it was such a lie. Like over 50 years, I think maybe five people had ever been indicted on these things. All of a sudden they start throwing these things at Trump people and probably Papadopoulos as well.
Meanwhile, you have the entire Biden family that are actual foreign agents. that are accepting so much money. It's sick. It's so sick. It's the unequal weights and measures that's such an abomination that, people cannot stand it. And they're so tired of it. And our country will not survive if it continues this way. It's not a country. It's just a banana republic. You don't have the rule of law. You have the rule of very corrupt men. Who don't care about anything. They don't care about anything. And the worst of it is they pretend that they're so holier than thou. They're so sanctimonious and all this. And they have nothing but disdain for our system, disdain for God's law. They hate it. And they're just abusing it. And people, they're so sick of it.
Yeah. Chris Ray, I heard, here Monday or whatever, Tuesday, he was supposed to hand over some docs. No, he hasn't. And today he's flying to Vegas. No big deal.
Yeah.
No, he didn't care. Right. He's been doing this since he got he was nominated.
Oh,
what
they're
a monster!
Hold him in contempt, but do you think they're going to throw him in jail like they're going to do to Steve Bannon? I mean, it's sick. It's sick, but they can defy Congress. They can do whatever they want. Those days are coming rapidly to an end. They really are. Mm-hmm. That's why they're going after Trump so hard.
Well,
he's going to go after them 10 times harder.
I hope so. I hope so. And we all do. We all do. We want justice. This is absolutely outrageous. I mean, I've even got caught up in it a little bit here. Jim and I are getting sued by a couple individuals who pulled suitcases out from underneath the table in Georgia because they're saying we defamed them. So, I mean, Well, there you go. There you go. So, it is. And who's backing them? Well, it's Protect Democracy, a bunch of Obama White House attorneys. Okay. Mm. Well, that makes sense. This group formed as soon as Obama left office, and their whole and entire, goal, purpose was to just, harass conservatives, take them down. And they're doing it. It's totally disgusting what these people have done to our legal system. And then then you mix in some Obama judges, and man, you've got the perfect storm. And that's, Liz, I'll tell you this. I just finished my third book on the steel. This one was on the cover up. And so I think I'm done. But the first book was setting the stage, and I know you've gotten a copy of that and a copy of my second book where I talked about the impossible occurs, those things that happened. And I'll just tell you just real briefly here, if you don't mind. In that second book, as I look back at all this stuff, I came to the conclusion, and I shared this recently down Trump Doral at this event. I got to speak alongside Roger Stone and General Flynn. And what an honor that was. And but I shared the reason the election was stolen is because it never should have been certified. And I don't know if people really fully understand that. But from an auditing perspective, you never would have certified this stuff. It was so messed up. I've done audits around the world, and I never walked into an entity and had anybody in any language tell me, no, you can't look at our system. It's just insanity. Okay, then I'm moving on. We're not going to make a decision here. We cannot. It's uncertifiable, and yet we certified it. And that was a big piece in the second book, and there's a lot more there that I was going to share. But in this third book that I did that's coming out here hopefully in a week or so on the cover up, you'll see that, for example, Sidney Powell had four cases that were good cases. They were good, and she got criticized and blasted by this nasty, evil media. She ran into three of the four cases hit Obama judges. She didn't have a prayer. Right. Not a prayer of getting these things through.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing they're doing with President Trump in New York. The same judge gets the Bannon case, gets the Trump Organization case, now gets this sham indictment. I mean, give me a break. That's not random. This isn't, it's such a perversion of our entire system. They're rigging it against, you know, the patriotic people. It's exactly right.
Yeah. And so we've got to win this election. That's what it comes down to. We've got to. And I've got some ideas on you know, what we can do too. So I'll have
Is it in the new book? Do you have the way forward, or is it just all okay?
I've got some ideas though, and I want to share them with you. I guess I don't want to give the left a heads up. you know, because they're so nasty. You know.
Right.
So anyways, we'll have to chat. But I'll get you a copy of this book when it's done. Yeah.
No, I look
Thanks so much, Liz.
It.
Thanks for coming. It's a joy always talking to you.
You're always spot
great
on.
To grateful
be with
to have you.
Thanks
so
much.
And we will be back tomorrow on the Joe Hoff Show. Thanks to Liz Harrington with President Trump for joining us today. And have a great evening.